Hello and thank you for downloading Witness on the BBC World Service. And today we're taking you back to New Year's Eve 1999, when alongside the parties celebrating the new millennium, people who worked in computing were preparing for something a little less festive and a little more frightening. It was called the Millennium Bug. Alan Johnston reports.
It's New Year's Eve 1999 and we're about to enter a new millennium. All around the world, preparations have been made for one of the greatest ever nights of celebration. But there's just one thing putting a bit of a dampener on all that party spirit.
What sort of person would jeopardise your job? Wouldn't listen to warnings? What sort of person wouldn't make one phone call to find out how to save their company from the Millennium Bug? Is it you?
Governments, major corporations and computer experts are all warning of a possible disaster in the form of what had become known as the Millennium Bug, or the Year 2000 problem, Y2K. The great fear was that when the midnight hour struck and we rolled over into a strange new date full of zeros, the countless millions of clocks ticking away in the world's computers might malfunction.
Deep in the structure of a very large number of programs was the handling of dates. Dates are complicated things. They're sort of arbitrary, and that makes them difficult to write programs about, particularly when it gets complicated, as it did around the millennium.
A professor of software systems engineering at University College London, Anthony Finkelstein, had watched concern about the millennium bug rise and rise.
It coincided with a growing realisation about just how dependent we are on information technology in our daily lives. So the Millennium Bug and the possibility of computer programmes malfunctioning woke people up to the fact that their lift control systems, their burglar alarms, their switchboards, their invoice processing systems, all of them critically depended on technology, and perhaps it's fair to say all of them critically dependent on technology they ill understood.
Now, it's one thing if the lift doesn't work or a few incorrect invoices are sent out. But what if critically important computer systems were to go wrong? What would happen if the technology controlling the world's nuclear weapons went haywire? When questions were asked about the safety of America's arsenal at US Air Force Space Command, it was Lieutenant Colonel Don Miles who had to provide the reassurance.
Now, what happened about a year out is the world started to focus, and I'll say world, probably the media, really started to focus on Y2K. One of the American news networks had a story, and one of the lines that they had in their story, and this was in February of 1999, was the Millennium Bug could set up the next world war and a military meltdown. And of course, you know, the words trust us sometimes carry a lot of weight, other times they don't. And, you know, certainly when you're talking nuclear missiles, that's an area where you need some proof with the trust.
The U.S. military was more than ready for the Millennium Bug. 5 years of testing and fixing had made 100% certain that when the midnight moment came, there would be no loose nuke arcing its way towards Moscow. But when you're an organisation steeped in Cold War-style secrecy and disinformation, how do you convince the world and your former enemies that there really is nothing to fear from your computer-controlled weapons?
What the Department of Defense did is establish a Center for Y2K Strategic Stability. And this was a center to help exchange information on missile and early warning systems between the U.S. and Russia. And that was set up here at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado. A special center was hollowed out, and feeds from various warning systems were fed in there. A team of Russians came to the United States. And I believe they spent about 2 months here in that center, where both U.S. and Russians were able to monitor the systems around the world to help verify and make sure that there wasn't any erroneous data that might alert some country to take some action that would not be warranted.
Gathered in this room, there were very senior American and Russian officers who'd spent their whole military careers till the end of the Cold War preparing to fight one another. So what was the atmosphere?
A lot of camaraderie. Interestingly enough, military members, you know, share some commonality no matter what nation, whether you're former adversaries or the best allies. And the military mindset is one of you're given a mission and you have to accomplish that mission.
So for Colonel Miles, it was all about building confidence with the Russians and also with the public.
If you had been here, you would have been part of a media team of about 140 who started arriving shortly after Christmas and spent about 5 days with us.
And in that, in the run-up to midnight in the Pacific, those hours as you approached the Millennium moment for the first time, what were people saying? What was the mood?
Actually, it was fairly relaxed. I mean, most people were pretty expected exactly what happened, nothing.
Right, so it was a big effort, but really something of a non-event.
Well, but when you have some degree of concern and you have to reassure an American or a world public, there are extraordinary measures you have to take sometimes.
But there was a moment on Millennium Night when I personally wondered if something was happening, something terrible. I was the editor in charge of the World Service's Bush House newsroom on that New Year's Eve, and we heard from a very reliable source that as midnight struck in Moscow, somewhere in the depths of Russia, two missiles had been launched. Of course, it seemed just possible that the very worst Millennium Bug scenario might be unfolding. During a brief, agonizing wait for confirmation, I remember looking at television footage of the world celebrating and wondering if we were about to break the news that the party was over. But then word came that the missiles had actually been fired into Chechnya. It seemed that they were a grim New Year's Eve message from the Russian army to the Chechen guerrillas. The missile launch was nothing to do with the bug, and there was certainly going to be no accidental nuclear disaster. And in fact, as we scoured the world for news of Y2K trouble, we found no serious problem. And computer expert Anthony Finkelstein says there were various reasons for that.
Firstly, not everybody took shortcuts. Plenty of programmers understood the problems well in advance, or the programs were in the natural course of things replaced in the lead-up by people who then had some perception that probably the program was going to see 2000 and beyond. Some problems were fixed in the normal course of things, and some problems were fixed as part of the due care and attention you would expect to pay when there's a probability of some error. So some programs, you know, did fail and failed because of date errors, but programs fall over all the time for a whole variety of reasons. If you keep your software in a mess and you don't know what people are using, and you don't know what's on desktops, you've lost the source code and you've lost the documentation, then you probably should spend some money sorting the situation out. So that's a warranted concern. Does it warrant running around like chicken licking saying the sky is falling in? You know, frankly, no.
Anthony Finkelstein was speaking to Alan Johnston for Witness. And if you'd like to listen to our archive of history programmes online, just search for BBC Witness. And for details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, just go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.